Okay, we are back here on Entrepreneur Nation, here on KCA 80.9 FM in Irvine. I'm your host with the most, Ash Kumra. I have two amazing people. By the way, how do I say your last name?
Hein DeLongi. Everyone screws it up.
Hein.
Okay, yeah, like behind.
Behind. Okay.
There you go.
I got Aaron Hein with, as you can see, his company. People are checking in. A Fit Aid, a dope product. I mentioned this earlier that I actually have had his product for almost a year now. A former guest introduced me, Bedros introduced me to your product.
All right.
And then I went to F45 and they had your product. And so I was like, and then I looked you guys up and I saw what you're doing. I'm like, dude, I got to talk to you. And boom, there it is. You're here. So
good to be here.
Super happy to have you. Burkay Brown, he is the Mindset Coaches of Mindset Coaches. He is a performance coach. He's a behavior researcher. He's done some, a lot of people say they do behavior research and they do this stuff, but this cat got stuff from Berkeley. You know what I just realized? You know what's kind of funny? Your name is Burkay and you went to Berkeley. I don't know if they named the school.
Wow, that was planned. It was the only reason I went there, actually.
I mean, did they just say, hey, his name?
Like, we're going to let him in.
It's like a dentist named Dennis.
Yeah. Right.
There's one out there. I'm looking for one.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Brown after this, too. So that's the next university, right? Just to let you guys know.
Dude, that makes sense. So I have you both on here, but before we talk about the topic mindset, is there anything I missed about your bios? Because I want to be respectful for all the great stuff you're doing. So why don't we start with you?
I think you got to, I don't know what you said, but I'm sure you got to cover
it. I just said you got a dope product. I mean, Fit Aid has been around for a few years now, right?
Yeah, since 2011.
And you guys are like national, right?
We're national. We are.
Like I went to Whole Foods yesterday, and I mean, I didn't, when did you get into Whole Foods?
Ooh, probably 4 years back.
Okay, no? Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we're in all Whole Foods.
And it's been a journey, right? I mean, you grew in your lab, I know, or your well and farm in Santa Cruz, like you were saying, or like, was it like, how did the story start? I'm curious.
Well, we visualized it. It's all about mindset, right?
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about today. I mean, it was really as I was telling my man here, it's all about ignorance and passion for us. You know, we didn't come from the beverage industry, but we're very passionate about, you know, health and wellness, and what we put in our body is a direct reflection of how we show up in the world, and want to, you know, create better for you products, you know, vitamins you'll actually enjoy drinking. That's what we're all about.
Okay. And how about you, man? What's your story, man?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I started off as a personal trainer back in the day. I was always into, you know, Think and Grow Rich, Magic Thing and Big, reading all the books. I was a personal trainer. I mean, a quick story is I had a client who was extremely weak, small, quiet, right? And I'm like, I want to help this guy. So as I started training him, he started getting more confident. His personality started shifting. He started making more jokes. He's like, hey, I got a girlfriend. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Get back
to the weights. Bro, it literally, in a big way, it really was like that, because he would start to feel more confident, and then he got a girlfriend, then he got engaged. And there was a point when we were at the wedding rehearsal, he was looking at me, and it was amazing because I was sitting down, he was standing up looking at me with tears in his eyes, and he goes, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have believed that I could have got a girl like this. So for me, what became the most powerful thing was, I wouldn't have believed. So I actually became more interested in the belief part than just the physical part. And so how do you empower people to believe that they're capable of getting a girl like that, a guy like that, a business like that, mm-hmm. a family like that, a mindset like that? And so that's what kind of set me on the journey. And so I created a program that tied to the mindset and the physical. Then I just went to Berkeley and I was like, I got to research this mindset. How do you get people to change their behaviors?
Hey, what did you find in your research? Because that's such a fascinating topic.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. People are always saying, what's the answer? What's the answer? And it's not about an answer. It's about an environment. How do you create an environment where it lessens the likelihood of you giving up? See, when people start things, they have certain things that stop them. One, they're excited. Two is they make the first mistake, and then they self-sabotage. So if you provide yourself the right thinking and the right environment and the right behaviors, then it kind of increases your likelihood to be successful. So it's actually pulling from social cognitive theory, but it's an amazing process to watch somebody begin to believe and then surround themselves with other people that believe, and then from there change their behavior.
What is social cognitive theory?
So Albert Bandura talks about what causes people to act. How do you move? So if I believe something about myself, like right. I'm not capable, then I won't try. I'll either avoid or I'll fail early, right? So that's the mindset. If I believe I am capable, like what you said ignorance of passion. He was ignoring the fact that it wasn't an industry that he's in, but he was passionate about that industry.
Yeah.
Therefore, he created it. So he only focused on what was capable and didn't focus on what wasn't. So that's the cognitive portion. The behavior is you just acting out on it, and then kind of getting a feedback loop of seeing yourself succeed and then believing in yourself more.
Okay.
And the final thing is having a team. That's your environment.
One thing I find fascinating is what experiences lead you to work on what you're meant to do? So I'm curious, Aaron, like, what did you, what led you to decide to create Fit Aid?
Well, I, you know, how I was raised was very supportive. I mean, talking about the environment, you know, I was thinking about the topic today on the plane and thinking about the type of reinforcement I got from my father. You know, specifically, he would say things like, your attitude is your altitude, or the sky is the limit. You know, I mean, those became like mantras around my house. So I always came from a can-do attitude. You know, we're going to do something big. And, you know, like we were talking about before the interview here, it's like every challenge that we have in life, every entrepreneurial venture, every quote-unquote failure is actually just an obstacle that was meant to be there, meant to put us on a certain trajectory, meant to give us a certain skill set to get us to that next level. And so this is a culmination of, you know, years of those, you know, quote-unquote failures and successes and learning experiences, and then meeting the right business partner that really had certain skill set that I was lacking in, having the support structure from our significant others, our wives. You know, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to be an entrepreneur and not having support from your significant other. Talk about sabotaging if you came home and every day and when you weren't making any money and you know the sky is falling and all you heard was you piece of crap and you know I told you we shouldn't have done this. Right. Like imagine being in that environment and instead it's like no, this is going to work. We're going to get through that and having that and then building out our team that's just such A-tier players and able to execute. I mean it's that combination of all these ingredients have to come together mixed with the right timing, the right products and the right vision and you know unfortunately it's been working out for us.
How about you, man? Amazing. Tell us about your background, like your upbringing. Yeah. Specifically, what helped you with this foundation you have now?
No, it's such a great question, man. Because it really doesn't matter. It's the environment and how you move through the environment is what really makes a difference. My father, he was about the books, right? Mm-hmm. Think You Grow Rich.
Yep.
Magic Think Big. Augmentino. These books, what he would always say is, he goes, whatever the mind of man can't conceive, he can't achieve. And it's just kind of harking back, hearing these stories, it's like, wow, how important the upbringing is in a lot of ways, or surrounding yourself or finding that. But that just the way my father was, he was always into, you know, he did Amway, he was reading those books and everybody was talking about those things. And so that mindset really just, it bled onto me. And I always knew that I was capable of doing more, right? And I also knew that I had this ability, as random as it was, is I could see two people speak and I could, I don't know if it was hyper empathy, but I could understand where a person was coming and when they said something, how it negatively affected the other person, how their ego would kind of rise up and how an argument would come out of nothing. And so at first I thought that it was just like, why can't anybody see what I'm seeing? I realized that I had a skill set and there's this ability to have compassion for understanding what people are going through.
Yeah.
And that there really, no bad guy thinks he's the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like in your mind, you think that this person cut me off because he hates me or he doesn't like me.
Yeah,
but the truth is when you cut somebody off, you're like, I didn't mean to, I was late, I forgot. You know what I mean? This is, so when you have the ability to stand in the shoes of another person, it gives you compassion and it gives you that kind of perspective from a higher level. And so my work is, when I look at people, I'm looking at them from a higher level. I see, there's a great quote, I heard it from Les Brown, he goes, look at a man the way he is, he only becomes worse. Look at a man as if he were who he could be, then he'll become who he should be, right?
Powerful, yeah.
Wow, that's deep.
And I live by that. You see the greatness that's already there. And Abraham Lincoln, he says, I am the person I am today because I had a friend who believed me and I didn't have the gall to let him down.
Wow.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
So when you set that up, when you set people up and you say, hey, you are great, and not in a cliche way. I kind of see myself as the guy who like breaks open cliches and holds the pearl. But when you realize that greatness is actually a right, like you are born into it, and when you take off that veil of doubt, then you become empowered to make change. That's real.
Okay.
That's real. You know what I mean?
So we all have our own unique ability,
absolutely.
Right? You know? And it's negative programming between 0 and 7 years old that gives us, you know, the doubt and the fear and the anxiety. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're the best salesman there is. I mean, you know, a kid wants something, they're like, no, yeah, I'm getting that. They can be persistent as heck, right? And they can wear you down as a parent. So they don't learn, you know, they're programmed from us parents and from teachers especially. You know, teachers notoriously come from scarcity mode, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
The system, their friends, like, there's so many forces. Television, the big
right.
one, right? I mean, that's why we cut out cable when we got pregnant with our oldest. It's just like, I saw that negative programming going,
wow.
We got to get away from this. You know?
That's a smart move. So you have no cable in your house?
Haven't for 17 years.
God, so good.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad actually, my mom and dad didn't let us watch TV on the weekdays.
Smart.
And but at the time, you're like, what devils?
All my friends
my friends are just like, and I'm like, can I please it just like a little bit? Can I just watch a little bit? So Friday and Saturday, you're like making up for all the lost time. But you don't realize that you don't become attached to television. It's like kids who were raised eating healthy.
Yeah.
They don't understand why people eat unhealthy because your body has adapted to it. So that was a huge benefit too. So I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going back to both your businesses, and then we're going to dive into the main topic, mindset. Where in your life did you realize you needed to make this product? Like, were you in a health situation yourself? Did you have someone who you're like, I can't believe that happened to them? Or
tell me that part. Great question. I had always been a, you know, a little bit of a chemist in my own kitchen, making up my own shakes with, you know, turmeric and ginger powder and creatine and peanut butter and protein powder and doing, you know, I used to make always all my own stuff. But I was a sports chiropractor for 10 years in Santa Cruz and seeing a lot of high-level athletes come into the office drinking not so healthy beverages and really encouraging them to get off of those because I felt it would negatively affect their performance in the long run. And they would say, okay, I get off it, but what else, what should I drink? Basically asking for advice on what should they turn to outside of water. And there wasn't anything to point them to, you know.
Okay.
Wasn't anything to point them to. And Orion and I, my business partner, both have young kids, and it was like we knew we wanted to create something that we have full authenticity in offering to our own children.
So dope.
You know, I mean, I couldn't put something out where if, you know, I knew it had 300 milligrams of caffeine, it's going to give my kid, you know, an arrhythmia, or it's jacked full of artificial sweeteners or colors and all that garbage.
Yeah, your focus
has
like 100, right? I had your focus in the past. Yep. 100 milligrams, right?
100 milligrams, green tea, and nootropics as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, you're in phenomenal shape. You told me last time we met a week or two ago that you know you've been into bodybuilding again.
Right.
Like, how did, what role did fitness and
right.
working out play with your whole? What you're about?
Such a great question. Well, I'll say this: the internal gym is the name of my business, and the internal gym is your mind. I came from the gym, the external gym, and realized that the exercise of the brain is the most important.
Yeah.
That what I say is before you go to the body, you first must water the mind.
Right.
When you are physically training, certain things happen. When I face resistance, I'm doing resistance training, I grow.
Right.
My muscles grow. Resistance equals growth. But in the real world, when people experience resistance, they're like, oh, it's a bad day, right? It's Mercury in retrograde. I mean, whatever it is, these are the things. But we don't realize that if I saw resistance in the gym as growth, why don't I see resistance in my life as growth? And so my ability to kind of correlate the physical experience with the mental experience is what's so powerful. Like we were talking outside, is if you say you can't run a distance and you run it, you're out of breath and excited. And I say, what else in your life do you believe that you can't do, right? When you lift something you said you can't, our brain, if you put yourself in an exercise situation without hurting yourself and go to where your brain tells you to stop, your body can continue to go, but your brain is actually verbally saying something. And if you can start to hear those sentences, then you realize that it's just truly self-talk. Talk, it's all talk. Then there's a physical place that you can get to. And so really what I wanted to do is create a program that ties around those experiences where it's physical and mental. And as time went by, I started focusing more and more on the mental because the mental will then enact the physical,
okay.
right? So all clients, they have to go through some type of health, whether it's meditation or anything like that, in order to increase their cognition so that they can make the changes. So I was like, okay, I'm going full board in this. I want to do the internal gym. I want to create a program that helps people exercise their minds so they can change their lives.
So one thing I admire about both of you, it sounds like you both have good work ethics and habits. What are some daily rituals that both of you do? And I'll start with you. You do. And it could be anything. There's no right or wrong.
I have a very detailed daily ritual.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were about to say, I don't do anything. I just wake up and
I just
drink my...
I just woke up like this.
I drink my Focus and I'm like,
I'm
ready to be
That's
fit.
That's all you need. Shower and fit in.
Do that well. I'm telling you. I have this idea that like you have this
well. Work out, bro. No, I'll make it as quick as I can, but basically I get up at 6 o'clock every morning. I'll fill out the 5-minute journal. If you're not familiar with it, it's, you know, 3 things that you're grateful for, 3 things that'll make today great in one self-affirmation. I'll hop in the shower. I'll do 1 round of Wim Hof breathing. I'll slam the hot water off and do about a minute cold plunge. I'll do a keto coffee with usually some eggs from our chickens. and I'll take some supplements. I take my son to school. We'll do a morning prayer together, and then I'll ask him verbally the five-minute journal, you know, what is he grateful for, what will help make his day to great, and one self-affirmation. And I go down to Natural Bridges Beach. I do a short walk, about a quarter mile, get to the beach, let the sun hit me, do another deeper round of Wim Hof breathing. I ground myself, so I'll take my hands and just put them into the sand for and just kind of feel that and what that's all about, and then do some box breathing, a little bit of meditation, walk back, and then I'm ready to rock and roll, get in right around 8:15.
Okay. Any certain foods you eat consistently when you're in your peak time of work? Or
I do pretty good on a heavier keto, higher protein diet. Like, I have such a sweet tooth. I love carbs, but it really throws me off, you know. So I do better in a much higher protein and fat, you know, healthy fat content. Yeah. Cool.
How about you? What's your ritual?
I love it. My ritual starts at night. I have a night ritual. And so what it is real basic. I separate it into like kind of grand vision and small things to do. Like, did you fight the urge to this the sleep urge? Because sometimes when you're working so hard, you're like, okay, I just got to keep going.
Yeah.
So if I fight the sleep, and I actually give them points. So there's a higher point system. If I fought the sleep urge, it's a higher point system, right? So I have this on this, I created on SurveyMonkey. And so it asks, did you fight the urge? Did you go to bed on time? Did it, and it says, what are the top three tasks you have for tomorrow? Were you successful at achieving your top three tasks today? And then a little area for notes, lessons learned, because I'm trying to every time fix myself a little bit more. Why is my ratio? Is it either that I'm putting too much on my plate? Like, I just need to know how long it takes me to do what I need to do so I can get good at that. And then I have a little space for kudos, where I give myself kudos on any successes in the day, even if I didn't do well. And then I get a percentage grade, which sets me up for the morning. When I wake up, I have a morning ritual. The morning ritual is the first three things that you're grateful for. It says, what do you want to create in the world? What do you want to create in the world for others? What do you want to create in the world for yourself? Some type of affirmation. The three topics, three main things that you want to get done. Oh, what is the theme? Because I have my week separated by themes. So
what do you mean
Monday,
by that?
So Monday would be client day. That's when I have a major focus time for clients. So anything that if I'm putting, because the thing is when you're just like throwing all of your tasks out randomly throughout the week, there's no story. And the narrative is everything to be internally motivated. I have to have a reason why I'm doing this as opposed to just checking off the list. If my highest motivation is to check off a list, then I'm not motivated by my purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so clients day, I set my clients, and during the focus hours that I have, and I have shotgun tasks. Those shotgun tasks are just any tasks that randomly need to get done that day. Right? And then I have a day where it's focusing on the finance or focusing on the marketing or focusing on. So each day has its theme and its power. Right? So then I make sure that everything is put into the proper bucket. And then from that space, I can allow myself to not have to think, what day am I going to do that? I'm going to do that on marketing day. It's as simple as that. Oh, a personal self-motivation day? Sunday. That's when I connect to God. That's when I connect to myself, to my spirit, and to my social. Like, who are the people around me that I need to connect with?
Okay.
Reach out to people. So then I have, so I finish off, I do my meditation, and I do different types of meditation depending on how I feel. I used to be very strict on what type of meditation. I was trying to do transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, because I felt like if I didn't do it, I was bad, it worked against me. So now what happens is I have flexible meditation. So what I do is either I can do something as simple as Headspace or Calm, or certain breaths that I do, or if I decide to do transcendental, but I do it for a kind of period of time. And then I'm off into my day. And it ends with like simple, like, did you do your stretches? Did you make your bed? Because it's these small wins that give you the motivation to push on forward from there.
I love it.
Yeah. So those are kind of like, I say the night and the morning is actually one time, but the whole, it's your sandwich.
Right.
From there, you're either controlled by what pops into your phone or by who talks to you or by what intention you want to set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's extremely important.
I love that in setting the intention for the day, like having a client day as the focus of this day or this week. You know, that's powerful because you could get, you know, I'm one of those like multitask type of guys where I know there's no such thing, but I like to have, you know, organized chaos going off and I feel like I can hop from one thing or another, but having, because I get distracted so easy, but having a theme, it's like, okay, I'm going to crush, you know, new business today, and that's all I'm going to focus on, and just kind of clear it out. That would be,
that's
helpful
rad
for someone like myself.
It's funny. One little hack I do is I keep my phone on silent the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you really need to hear the ring? I mean, you will look at your phone. If someone's ringing, you will see a little light. You know what I mean?
Right.
Little. I think it's very easy for us to get distracted by our own distractions,
right,
like the phone, you know? What are some distractions that you have learned to get out of your life? You mentioned TV. Is there anything else either of you have gotten out? Like, for me, it's like not having the ringer on.
Right. I think about that, distractions. I think the distraction. I'm not trying to go meta. Okay.
Go meta.
So because I'm not trying. It's not like all philosophy.
I remember I said you can do anything. Yeah. Okay. Because
the thing is, at the end of the day, meta comes down to what are you doing. I don't care what you can speak about. What do you end up doing?
Okay.
But I think for me, one of the things is, and even recently, like you can have bad days or bad hours, or you can have a little pity party sometimes. What happens is when you're in a space that you're not feeling strong, you acknowledge it. So before, what I could do is I could find myself being like, I'm supposed to be strong now, right? But the reality is this is just that time that will pass.
Yeah. Right.
And when you allow that, you don't allow the self-sabotaging thoughts to get a grip on it.
Okay.
And when the grip is there, then you start to pull in narratives. You ever had that where you're having a bad day and you're like, oh, of course that would happen. Somebody smiles at you, you don't acknowledge it. But somebody frowns, of course that would happen. And you pull the narrative to say how guilty or how bad the day
or you're manifesting in that.
Absolutely. And manifestation is an interesting thing because I think it works both ways. You can actually create from nothing a thing, or you can put up the station. 88.9 is going to only pick up 88.9.
Yeah.
Right? So your antenna is the manifestation, or whatever is you're creating from nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So but the thing is, for me, one of the greatest things is that when I with my clients, whether it's with an organization or with an individual, is how quickly can we get you to bounce back? You're going to fall. It's not about how high can I get you. It's how fast can I get you to bounce back, because that'll determine how high you get.
Love it.
So that's why for me, if I have a bad day, it's like, it was just that moment. And I accept it, I honor it, I gave it its voice, but I'm not gonna let it continue to talk to me because it's past. So that's something for me that's been very, very helpful and something I try to have my clients engage in.
And what do they say, like all, you know, all anxiety, you look at, you know, a lot of psychological issues that we're dealing with that are heavily medicated today, depression, anxiety, right? It's focusing on things that have happened in the past that we cannot change, or focusing on a future that has not happened yet.
Yeah.
They're both symptoms of the exact same disease,
right,
which is lack of being present.
Right.
You know, so for me, I find when I get in the funk, or I get the demon on my shoulder whispering into my ear a little too frequently, or you know, I get in that negative mindset, I will go for a little walk, take some deep breaths, and then be hyper vigilant, hyper present about everything, the way the sun is hitting the leaves and the wind is blowing and what the birds are doing, and like just be so engaged, because when you're hyper present, you get very appreciative. It's so amazing. I mean, that's why I live out in the mountains. It's like, it is so beautiful. We're so blessed to be like alive right now and live in this.
It's the greatest time to ever live, right?
Yeah, in this state. I mean,
I know.
It's just
so rough. Especially where you live.
It's just so amazing. And just to, you know, quote, stop and smell the roses once in a while and appreciate that, then guess what? All that negative self-talk goes away, because they can't coexist. You can't exist in presence and appreciation and through negativity, depression, anxiety.
You
at
have
the
an
same
interesting
time.
Energy about the Santa Cruz area, because CrossFit, the guy from CrossFit was
Greg,
started out there, right?
Started in Santa Cruz. Yeah.
So did you guys know each other when you guys were building your businesses? I'm just curious, because he launched before around 2011, maybe not right at that time, but he launched around the time when you launched FitAid.
Yeah, I never knew Greg. I saw him because I had memberships at World Gym, Gold Gym, and Nautilus, mainly because the memberships were like $10 a month each, and there were different sets of ladies at each gym. And so I would hop around training at all three, and I'd see him running, you know, small groups of people in a gym and taking up three or four piece of equipment at Gold's, and then 2 weeks later he was gone because he got kicked out of that gym. Then I'd see him at 24 Hour doing the same thing and get kicked out of there. Then I'd see him at Worlds and get kicked out of there. And then I think out of frustration is why he finally started his own gym. He's like, I'm getting kicked out everywhere. So I only knew Greg through that. And then very early in CrossFit, when I was at Cairo, I was treating, you know, a lot of the people from CrossFit headquarters and some of the athletes coming into town. My office was in Scotts Valley in Santa Cruz County, and that's where CrossFit headquarters is as well.
Small world, yeah. So, Burkay, I love that you talked about bad days, and that's actually the one part I wanted to ask you both about is, how have you used mindset to overcome something that's been hard with your business? And obviously, I'd rather talk about the earlier days when, you know, when you got nothing to lose and, like, you have no resources. And let me start with you. And if you can be specific, that'd be great for our audience. You don't have to use actual names or numbers, but, like, a specific situation where, like, things were tough, but because of your mindset, you were able to get through it.
Yeah, and I would not just call it mindset. I would call it, say, intentional mindset or mindful mindset. Because we all have mindset regardless of whether we're intentional about it or not.
No doubt.
And the less intentional we are, the more negative it can spiral. And then we're either tuning into that station or we're manifesting, you know, those negative things in our life. So being intentional about mindset, I think, you know, some of that early programming was helpful. And now that I think about it, I almost got some of the opposite programming from my mother, like around money, you know, money doesn't grow on trees and that type of programming. But for me, there's so many challenges in the early days. I mean, there's still so many today. I mean, being an entrepreneur and, you know, putting it all out on the line, burning your ships at the shore, there's so many challenges. It's daily that you could easily say, screw this, it's not worth it, and I'm done, you know, from in the financial realities too, and the financial pressures. So being aware that, you know, I'm manifesting this reality, and that awareness started happening, I think, when I was a chiropractor, and there'd be somebody that I hadn't seen in the office for a couple of years. I'd wake up in the morning, their image, their name was in my head. I'd walk in, guess who would show up that day? Oh, I hurt myself playing, you know, tennis or whatever. I got a rotator. And I used to be like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you this morning. And then it happened so frequently that I expected it. I knew it. I knew I was manifesting, and therefore I wouldn't even mention it to the person anymore. It was just part of that reality. So bringing that into our business, and when things were going really bad, and going, hey, this is temporary. The obstacle is the way. You know, this little challenge is exactly what we need at this moment to deepen our relationship. If you're talking about my business partner and I, or figure a marketing piece out that wasn't working, or, you know, turn an investor pitch that we were getting a no on into yeses. Like, if everything's a yes and everything's hunky-dory, then you don't change anything that you're doing. And therefore you become stagnant and you die off, right? So those, looking at those challenges and those obstacles in a positive light, and really challenging and taking those head on, and knowing that that is exactly what you need. Like Tony Robbins says, you know, life is not happening to us, it's happening for us.
Yeah, no,
right?
So.
It's happening for us.
Right.
So you really, when you buy into that, and I totally buy into that, like in my deepest parts of my soul, I buy into that, then how you're approaching things and being conscious about your mindset is step one, like observing your thought process.
How about you, man?
Yeah, I think really there's something big about knowing the story. Like when you look at a magician, right, and you see them do magic, you're like, wow. But as soon as you see what the magic trick is, it's no longer magic.
Yeah.
Right? All of the mysteriousness just dissipates because you know what's happening. One of the things, I had a tanning business back in the day called Mocha Express Tanning. Can you believe
yeah,
this?
I love it.
Yeah, I swear to you. And I literally.
Like 93?
Right, yeah, exactly. Mocha Express Tanning. This was back in the day, and it was a perfect thing because I.
Hey, it worked. I
yeah,
was
right?
There too.
That's what I did. That's exactly what I did. I'm like, I was the
We're
after.
Both brown
like,
for
what's
those
happening?
That
yeah, exactly,
see.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is, I had this business idea where $7 per spray tan, I was charging $29. I'm like, hey, business is business. Let's make this happen, right? Before I jumped in,
yeah.
I wanted to, there's a book that I was reading that says, write worst case scenario, what would happen, right? The worst case scenario, barring death, right? Or sickness or some randomness. It was, for me, it was closing, because at the time it was at the gym, I was with my mentor and he was helping me out and stuff like that. So it was like for it to be unsuccessful and my mentor to be mad, right? Mm-hmm. I was a young guy. One of my first businesses, I'm like, okay, let me try it out.
Cool.
So I wrote down what would happen. It says, now that you know, what would it require for you to get back to the black?
Okay.
So I wrote that entire narrative, that entire story of what would happen to get back to the black. And guess what happened? One of my employees didn't show up for my mentor's client. And he's like, Mocha Express is done. And I remember the moment where I was living in Aliso Viejo. I remember what happened, what I felt. And it wasn't great depression. It was deja vu.
Okay.
I've been here before. And since I'm not dead, I know how to get out of this.
Yeah.
So what I did was I was able to not overwhelm myself with this feeling of failure and realize that there is an escape. There's a way out. Okay. Most people are afraid to do anything because they think they will die.
Yeah.
It's an awesome story. I think it was Steve McQueen and Bruce Lee, they were running. And Steve McQueen is just like, oh, Bruce, Rose, I'm out. I'm going to die. So Bruce Lee turns around and he's just jogging in place and he goes, then die.
Right? It's so stupid.
Then die. Then die. If you're going to die, then die. But the truth is we fear we're going to die. We're not going to die. Yeah. We fear we're going to die, and that fear is what kills us, not death. Right?
Dude, I love that story. Because remember offline we were talking about my near-death experiences?
Right.
With Mavericks, with skiing? It's because I didn't think I was going to die in a way, which is why I got over it quickly. I was like, it sucks. I was hurt. But move on. Because I knew it wasn't my time to leave this world. Not from a spiritual. I was just I'm just not ready to die.
Dude, your thinking has so much to do with how you physically act, how you manifest, whether it's a real manifestation or just focus.
Okay.
But what happened was I wasn't dead. And I was able to rebuild the business, have a re-grand opening with a partner, and then sell it off to them.
Wow.
So what happens? The narrative is I literally made money to learn a massive lesson and tell a story that I'm sharing with the audience right now. And it's from my own experiences. And it's by me understanding that failure is not failure unless you stop. Right? It's that existence of understanding that really sets the tone. So even with my clients, just a real quick aside, is that when my clients start, I say, you're going to have a down period. I'm waiting for that moment that you fail because that's when we can really get to work. I'm preparing you and I'm letting you know what's going to happen. Then when you have that down moment, it's like the valley of despair, because you start off optimistic and excited, all the hype.
Awesome.
Then time goes by and you realize it's not as easy as you thought it was. Then you're like, am I even capable of this? Right. At that moment is where all the tools truly come out to empower people to push past that. So the downs are part of the tools and the data that you can pull out on how to bring yourself back up. That's the bounce back.
Okay.
So understanding the story is what makes it easier to live through it.
I love that you talk about mentors, and actually that's actually my final question before we adjourn, because I don't know if you realize, but it's already 5:46. We've been talking for over 30 minutes straight.
Wow.
That's how fast and inspiring this is. So it's been fun. Tell us, I'm curious, who's someone you admire, who you just think, God, they have that intentional mindset and they're like learning and growing, they're just crushing it. And this can be, I want to hear about someone, not besides family, someone you know. I want to hear for someone that like you've read or you look up to and why, and then we'll talk about personal mentors.
I would say aspirational mentor that I've heard speak live but never met personally would be Richard Branson for me. Because you know, he's not a brilliant engineer like an Elon Musk or you know, he's not a Steve Jobs, but he can take existing things and just make them so much better. And just the way he shows up in the world, you know, how he holds space is so incredible. The guy is just like the ultimate entrepreneurial rock star. So he would be my pick.
How about you, man?
You know what? It's interesting. There's so many. It's such a difficult thing. This came what came to mind first, and it's not literally his leadership style, but Steve Jobs.
Nice.
And the reason I say that is only for the ability to see something so hard. You know, I can't even say strong. He saw it so hard that other people believed in it and believed it and created it. There's something, I forgot what it was called. Do you know, he said there's an aura, like the job aura or something like that.
Reality distortion.
The right reality distortion field. Oh, that is all I'm talking about. That right there. The ability to believe in something so clearly that other people get vision. And you distort reality, and all reality is what the rest of the world has accepted, to where what you accept and don't accept, others accept and don't accept.
Love it.
And because I accept that all people are great in their own unique way, then they accept that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm gonna share my vision statement real quick because I gotta get it out. It says, I envision a world where boundless imagination and creativity is applied to life itself, where the very art of living is mastered and evolved as each individual is empowered to express their unique greatness in the world. That's all I'm here to do. And anybody that has the ability to help bring that to reality is a mentor of mine. And when I see that reality distortion field, I want that vision to be the distortion field that people walk into when they come by me. And then when they come by the people that work with me. When they come, because it's no longer just about me, it's about an idea that's bigger, right? So when I hear that phrase that you said, there's something powerful in it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
How about personal mentors, someone who you're around, has been in your life?
Mm. Yeah, my father would be the first mentor of mine. My mom has very late stage Alzheimer's right now, and just watching, you know, him be so congruent with how he raised us and taking care of her. Ben Altadonna, a good friend of mine, I told a story before, he you know, when we were broke, just getting started, he wrote a $25,000 check for us to be part of a big mastermind marketing group, which really made a difference for our business with, you know, no paperwork, nothing, just pay me back when you can. And he's also opened my mind up to, you know, the possibilities with marketing and behavioral psychology, human psychology. He's been, you know, really big. Also, Michael Watkins, ex-superintendent in Santa Cruz County, who is, I was on the, twice elected to the County Board of Education. He's the superintendent and just, you know, made a major impression on me at that point in my life. And I just want to acknowledge him as well.
Nice. So how about you, man?
Yeah. I would say, you know, my mom, she's just, she's Ethiopian American.
Wow.
And she is the embodiment of love and compassion. And no matter how alpha or weight lifting and all that stuff that I can be, there's this heart of compassion that I really got from her and her ability to love and her ability to connect with her higher power. I think that's one of the most beautiful things. So no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much strength you have, no matter how much charisma you have, if you don't have that center, then you're using it wrong, right? So I think that my mom is somebody that is a mentor to me. My father, when I was younger, provided me these books and this pathway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I have to absolutely acknowledge that. One of my mentors when I was at Berkeley, Dan Mulhern, just took me under his wing. And he talked about everyday leadership, and that's leading up. You are a leader no matter where you are. It is not to do with anything about what your title is or what your role is. Leading is something that a human does. And then Travis Mayfield, he's one of my mentors, first mentors. He had me read books and write essays about it. And one of the greatest things I got from him, the guy still to this day, he calls or texts and leaves a message on my phone. He does it for like 40 people. The guy was in Vietnam. He's amazing. Has three fingers. They call him the claw. He's a beast. But he calls with the motivational quote every morning. He's been doing that for me for about 4 or 5 years, right?
Wow.
But also one of the things that he said that was the most powerful, he goes, whenever anybody gives you a compliment, give it away as quick as possible. Just give it away.
Give me an example of that. That's really cool.
He said it. I just did right now. If I said, give it away, as soon as you said that was really cool, he did it.
Nice.
Because I don't need to own that.
Yeah.
Because whatever I keep, my ego keeps. Whatever my ego keeps, my present self doesn't keep, and the world loses.
No doubt, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So that's something that's extremely powerful that I learned from.
Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. We gotta get you on for a two-peat. We can talk about life, and I actually would love to talk about how to be a good parent. Because, by the way, I don't have kids yet, but when I have near end kids, I'm gonna call you.
Right.
You seem like the best father ever. I am serious,
man.
I'm tearing up inside. I'm like, dude, like your ritual with your son and like the way you're a very inspiring father.
We're all doing. Any parent out there will tell you we're all doing the best that we know how. Our parents did the best. As much as they could have screwed us up or did screw us up, they did the best that they thought they could. And, you know, I mean, we'll find out in the future how it turns out.
Okay.
You know,
manifest.
Yeah, exactly.
My last question to both of you is just what is a quote or phrase that you live by? We'll end on that note.
You want to start? I'll jump in
Ahead.
So I mentioned Ben Altadonna, my mentor. I was at a marketing conference that he was putting on. There was a hypnotist there, Marshall Silver. He's been on David Letterman. He's a big hypnotist. He has a show in Vegas. Flashy Rolex watch full of diamonds. He brought a bunch of people up, hypnotized them, and I tried to go up to get hypnotized. I'm not hypnotizable, apparently, so I got kicked out of the group. But he had people doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Long story short, he's at the bar after the day ended. I go up and sit next to him. I'm like, hey, Marshall, you know, I'm just starting out. You know, is there anything you can give me, anything I could put into practice, you know, that'll subconsciously train myself to be, you know, successful in life? He said, Aaron, yes, there is. He said, every day when you wake up, say, today is a fabulous day filled with opportunity and potential. And if you do that, every morning for 5 years, you'll be $1 million richer. That's how specific he was. So when I'm dropping my son off and he opens the door to go to school, he always looks at me and we both say, today is a fabulous day filled with opportunity and potential.
Love it. How about you, man?
That's beautiful, man. That's awesome. I think it's the washer bowl. You know what I mean? Right?
I love it.
It's got to be.
It's the greatest.
Because literally with my clients, and myself, it hits. So I'll just tell the quick story is, there's a new monk. He comes to the monastery, and he sees the chief monk, the head monk. he's like, I'm going to go talk to him. I want to ask him a question. So he finished eating, and he walks up to the monk, and he goes, hey, I'm new here, and is there any advice that you can give me that can help me, you know, evolve in my time here? And the monk just kind of smiled at him, and he looked at him, and he goes, wash your bowl. And so he's like, wait, what? So he grabs his bowl, and he's washing it, and as he's washing it, he's noticing the water. He's feeling the food that's cleaning off. Yeah. He's understanding that he's cleaning off this bowl, and he's going to be repurposed and reused by somebody else. And he kind of becomes present to the moment, and he realizes that there's a deep truth in it. And I think for most people, is everybody spending most of their lives trying to get somewhere else, myself included. But when I think about wash your bowl, it just means be present. And so one of the things that is the most important thing is that of all the things that can happen in the world, the only thing that ever does happen is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And to be present to that and to find joy in that, because then the rest is just the cherry on top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen, brother.
Well, thank you both for being on the show. Sincerely, this was a great interview.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was fun.
Yeah, this was great.
All right, everyone. You are tuned in to Entrepreneur Nation on KUSA 80.9 FM. If you are interested in connecting with me, ashkumra@kusa.org, or just find me on Instagram or LinkedIn, ashkumra. We'll definitely make sure to promote all the projects that these two individuals are working on. And I'd love your support, and I'd love to hear your feedback on upcoming guests. We got a great show next week. We're actually going to talk about how to crush it in investing. We actually have Accelerate OC's Kerry Ransom joining us. He's one of the top angel and venture investors in Orange County. He was actually one of the founding investors of Veggie Grills. I'm curious to talk to him about that as well. But yeah, keep supporting the station. It's a 24/7 endeavor. One thing I love about this station is that there's always something on. Even on Christmas Day, there's something on. Even if it's recorded or pre-recorded, it doesn't matter. You got to support media, and you get to hear amazing stories and music and guests like the two that we just had. And yeah, have a great day, and I'm going to play some music before our next show comes on. Thanks. All right, we done.